So we are coming up. We're going to talk about some things this morning, and we're coming up to a very exciting season for us in church. Not just Christmas, and we're looking forward to that, and we've got various different things coming up at Christmas, but we're looking forward to Next Door, because about this time last year, we bought the building, and we heard God said stage one is the bat, and then we said, well, wait till stage two comes, and we said, Lord, when's that coming? And just over this last few weeks, God's just been speaking more and more and more, and we are assured this is the time, and we're getting ready to move. But here's the good thing about this plan. It is not my plan, and it's not your plan, it's God's plan. That's good news, because it needs to be His. If it's ours, then it's going to fail. If it's mine, it will fail. But if it's His, He will bring it to pass. And our ultimate goal is this, is that we get on the same page as Him. And so a few weeks ago, we said this, that there is a change coming. And what God was trying to do was grab our attention to say, change is coming. Are we going to get with the program? Are we going to get with what He is doing? Are we going to step into that? Or are we going to miss it? And then we had our harvest time, and then last week we said assignment. And we said that if we're going to fulfill this goal of Next Door, everyone's going to have to take an assignment. Everyone's going to have to be part of it. And the big call that we have had is Nehemiah. And the story of Nehemiah is that he heard from God, but he kept telling the people. And then together they built these walls. They built these gates. And we said last week that the first gate that they built was the sheep gate, which I believe is just always a constant foreshadow of Christ. Because the sheep gate speaks about sheep, and Jesus was the lamb that was slain. And of course, the next gate that they built was, most importantly, the fish gate. And what does the fish speak of? That he said we're going to be fishers of men. When we get Jesus right, then salvation naturally happens. And so, church, this morning, we are thinking about Next Door, and we are preparing our hearts. And if all goes to plan, what we're going to do is, next Sunday, we're going to have a Vision Sunday. And we're going to share some of the plans. We're going to share some of the ideas that we've got. But here's the thing. It is a work in progress, because the Lord doesn't like to reveal too much. He likes to keep us in faith. He likes to keep us in faith. And so we take baby steps, but He knows the ultimate plan. But as we take steps of faith, it's amazing how the Lord reveals more. And so this morning, we're going to prepare our hearts even more. So we said, change is coming. We have God assignments. But here's the thing that God really spoke to me. And Nehemiah chapter 4 gives us a clue. We looked at Nehemiah chapter 3 last week. But Nehemiah chapter 4 gives us the biggest clue for long projects and for big plans. You've got to have a lot of prayer going on. You've got to have a lot of prayer going on. Now, I know that doesn't sound that cool, and it doesn't sound that sophisticated. We would rather have, I don't know, we'd rather have this, we'd rather have that, but prayer is so important, because prayer is speaking to God. Prayer is hearing from God. Prayer is knowing God's voice. And this is why it's so important, because I began to think of why prayer is so important. I began to ask the Holy Spirit, why are you trying to get our attention on this, God, when it comes to Nehemiah chapter 4? And He said this to me. He said, because whenever you face your issues, whether it be good or bad, whenever you're looking for direction, whenever you're wondering where to go, what's the first thing you do? You ask. You ask for advice. You ask yourself. You're like, is this a good idea for me to do this? You ask somebody else, hopefully a close friend, hopefully somebody you can rely on, and you ask them. Or if you don't do that, somebody else is going to tell you, because even when you're not asking, somebody's going to tell you. We hear about our media all the time. Media is telling me this, media is telling me that. And it's very, very subtle. Before you know it, you start to believe this instead of what you used to believe over here, because repeating the information over and over and over again gets us to start to believe it. And so this is why prayer is so vital, because if we're going after a God work, then we've got to know God's voice. If we don't know God's voice, here's what simply happens. We forget about the paths we're supposed to take. We forget about the plans we're supposed to take. We forget about the steps we need to take, and we start doing things our way. And even a tiny bit off course means you're totally going off course. And so in Nehemiah chapter 3, everything's going really well, and then Nehemiah chapter 4, things start to change. And this is what we're going to look at. We've got three different voices that we can listen to. We've got the enemy's voice. He's going to be chatting all of the time in various different forms. We've got our voice, or the voices around us of close personal friends. All of those can be good sometimes, but again, they may not be God. And then, of course, we've got God's voice. And His is the most important voice. It's the one that needs to captivate us the most. It's the one that needs to lead us the most. It's the one that we need to hear from the most. And how do we know that? By talking to God, by hearing from God, by prayer. Whether it be coming together collectively like we did on Wednesday night. By the way, we had an amazing prayer time. Stop missing out on them. If you are, you need to be here, because they're so good. Or it might be at home praying. And I know sometimes the hardest thing to do at home is to pray. It could be much easier to do X, Y, and Z, but we need to know the Master's plan. Otherwise, we start going our own plans. We start doing our own things. So prayer is absolutely vital. I want us to read this morning. Nehemiah chapter 4. It's on the screen. Honeymoon period was over. chapter 3, it just seemed to all go so well, and then suddenly everything starts to change. Sounds a bit like life. Says this, Sanballat was very angry when he learned that they were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think that they are doing? Do they think that they can build a wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think that they have something of stones from a rubbish heap, that they can make something from stones from a rubbish heap, and charred ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, the stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked along the top of it. Wow, that was like the final blow at the end. It's like, we thought we were doing a pretty good job building this wall, but you're telling me a fox, if it walked on top, would collapse the wall? This is not good, because this wall is supposed to keep the enemies out, and if it can't even keep a small fox out, we're in big trouble. And of course, everyone looked like it was going really well. And then here comes the enemy's voice. Here comes the opposition voice. Here comes this person saying this, this, and that. And we're going to find that. And maybe you found that in your life. Why does that have to happen? It's really annoying. Why can't everybody just love you? I remember years ago, let me tell you a funny story about Nikki, but she loved me anyway. Years ago, when me and Nikki started to go out, she said to me, you know, I just love it. Everybody loves me. And then one day came. And then one day came where someone just didn't like her. And she's like, I can't understand it. This is not good. And she started to get annoyed about it. She's like, this person doesn't like me. And I told her the hard reality of the truth of life is that not everybody is going to like you. It's just not going to happen. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you try to be, they're not going to like you. And it won't even be anything to do with you. It's just something to do with them. People, for some reason, just won't like you. I have to tell you that this morning. It's not nice. But there are some people who just don't like you. I don't know why. They probably don't even know why. They just have it in their head. I just don't like that person. I remember doing that years ago, thinking to myself, I don't think I'll get on with that person. He ended up being my best man at my wedding. I mean, we are so silly sometimes. I was like, I don't think I like that guy. And before I knew it, we liked each other pretty well. So life is funny, and the people that we meet are funny. But at this day, at this time, this was the last person they wanted to hear from. They did not want to hear from these guys because they were just busy trying to get this wall thing going. They didn't know how to build the wall. They were just being obedient to God. They didn't know what they were really doing. They're just being obedient to God. I think it sounds a bit familiar for us. As we step out into this big project of next door, we don't know really what we're doing. That's absolutely fine. We're with the man who knows everything. He's got a plan. I don't really know exactly what we're doing. I'm sure you don't. That's absolutely fine. When it comes to faith, this is who we are. We step out in faith in spite of what we know and what we feel because we choose to believe that God is greater than me. We choose to believe that he's got a better plan than I could ever conceive. We choose to believe that if he truly revealed his whole plan, we would sink and die in a moment because it would just be too overwhelming. And so this morning, church, we've got to be okay that he knows the plan and that we don't. And we've got to get okay by opposition voices coming to us. And instead of us quivering and dying, we actually go, whatever, and we just keep moving forward. We just keep moving forward. And this morning, I want us to see the power of prayer in this story and how it's so vital for the things that we want to do. Unfortunately, opposition is normal when you step out for God. Maybe you found that already. And words are hurtful and words are powerful. They really are. You can speak positive words and they can make a difference in somebody's life, or someone can speak negative words into your life and they always, always affect you. Have you ever met somebody who had negative words from maybe when they were a teenager and now they're in their 50s or 60s, or you met a person who's had negative words at school and it's still having almost a negative effect on their lives? Words are very powerful. If we have that going on in our lives, you know what we need instead? We need greater words to come over our lives to defeat the previous words, because God's words have greater authority. They are able to defeat any other words that have been passed down or said upon us. I want us to look at some of the things that the enemy spoke to these people. Said this, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think that they can build a wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? I want us to think about four quick things that this enemy started attacking the people. Four quick things that the enemy could start to attack in us. Or maybe your own mind could start to attack in you as we would go for our project next door. Or as people from outside would maybe say something. First one was this. It attacks their financial state. Just talks about this poor bunch. They knew they were a poor bunch. They had been poor for a long time. This was the last thing they needed to hear. But the enemy's clever and the enemy's smart. And he knows how to speak to those things that would really just hit you in the heart. And God says this morning, when the enemy comes to attack your finance, you're like, whatever. We don't have enough. We would never have enough. But God has more than enough. So that's not going to beat me. Number one, that's not going to beat me. Second thing was this, he attacks your identity. And he loves to undermine your identity because if he can undermine your identity, it will change everything about you. I mean, if you think you're a son and I start to attack your identity, before you know, you could start to think, maybe I'm just an orphan. Maybe I don't have a family. If I can do that to you, it changes everything. The way you act, the way you respond, the things you believe you can do, it is absolutely incredible. We had a guy here last night, Musa, from South Africa, and he could do all these clicks and stuff. If you ever been to South Africa, you've got these Xhosa people that do these clicks and all these different things, but the thing that blew me away, we've been there a few times, that's why I like it, but the thing that blew me away was to see where he had come from because people started to believe in him. They spoke to his identity, and as a result of speaking to his identity, he drew this map. It was kind of funny. He did like Google Maps driving all the way from South Africa all the way to Northern Ireland. It was something like, 197 hours it would take to drive. Impossible because there's water in between, but it was just a funny story, and it was just fun how where he had come from and to see what had happened when people spoke into his identity, when people encouraged his identity. Suddenly he became the man of God God had always intended for him. You see, our circumstances don't have to define us in a negative sense. Where we've come from doesn't have to define us for then till the end of time. What God says about us is the most important thing. And so he spoke to their identity. This is what the enemy does. He speaks to your identity because if he can undermine that, he can undermine everything. Says, you feeble Jews, stupid people. He knew this because these people have been running from God. He knew that these people had abandoned God years ago. He knows that the walls are down because these people had abandoned the goodness of God. And so he speaks to their identity. And they would have knew in that moment, of course, we're horrible people. We shouldn't have had to rebuild this wall if we had submitted to God, if we had been obedient to God. The enemy knows. He's sneaky. He knows what to hit. He knows what to go after. Third thing, he attacks their plan. Do you really know what you're doing? Do you really know what you're doing? That's something that somebody's going to ask you. Do you really know what you're doing next door? No. Say it with gusto. Say it with enthusiasm. Say it with confidence. No, but I know somebody who does. God. He just hasn't revealed it all yet. But as I continue to step out in faith, as I continue to go for this, as I continue to share, it is incredible. We shared it a few weeks ago. What I've learned about visions and dreams is this. Until we start to speak them out in faith, they become absolutely nothing. They just stay with inside of us. But the second I speak it out in faith, in fear, because there's fear attached to it, in worry, in anxiety, it's incredible. People come around you and actually encourage you with your dream. Do you remember a few months ago you said this? Are you still doing that? You're like, what? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure if I should. Like, no, keep going. I thought it was God. I thought it was good. It's amazing when we release that thing away from ourselves, what God can do next. Do we know what we're doing? No, we don't. Let me lift that off you right now. I will not be able to tell you what we're doing completely, but God does. And at the right times, at the right season, he will reveal the right steps. That's good news to me, and hopefully that's good news to you. Why? Because we cannot carry the burdens of life. We're not designed for it. We're not enabled for it, but God can. He is able to carry things, and we are dependent on him. We lean on him. The better we lean on him, the better our lives are going to be. The more that he sustains us, the better life is going to be. So hopefully that's good news in every area and every part of your life. Number four, he attacks their faith. He attacks their faith. It says right in the middle of that, it talks about sacrifices, which is ultimately going to speak to their faith because they know as Jewish people, they make sacrifices. They make sacrifices all the time to make sure that they're cleansed before God, to make sure that their sins are forgiven. Remember, Jesus came as the ultimate sacrifice so that there was no more sacrificing needed in that sense. And so he speaks straight to their faith. And of course, this is a hammer blow for them because they know that they have abandoned God. They know they're in this situation because they let God down, because God lifted his hand from them. But God is coming back with a better word. And here's what I want to encourage you with. And I love this from the story of Jonah. It says, but the word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah. I need that. Maybe sometimes I need it 102nd time. Maybe you need that this morning. But the word of the Lord comes a second time because sometimes he speaks the first time and we forget to respond. We forget to respond to it. We forget to go for it. Or we get fearful or we get dismayed. And God says this morning, I know a better word than the enemy's words. Hold tight, hold firm. You've got to pray. You've got to know my voice. You've got to know me. And here comes the final blow. Mentioned it earlier. That stone wall would collapse even if a fox walked along it. I mean, this is just, it's not even funny anymore. This would be funny if you knew what you're doing. This would be funny if you were confident in the build that you were involved in. This would be funny if you were confident in all that's going on. But it's not funny when you have no idea and you've got no clue and you're a priest and you're trying to build a sheep gate. That's what we read earlier on last week. This is not fun. But when God is with us, who can be against us? When we have him in our corner, then we have full assurance. We can rely on him in faith. Church, this morning, if we don't know his voice, you know what's going to happen? We're going to follow some other voice if we don't know his. If we don't know his voice, we're going to be dismayed and discouraged, and we're going to quit on all the other voices that we hear. Because whether you like it or not, the voices are coming. They're already here. They're already there. You're getting it in the form of a text. You're getting it in the form of social media. You're getting it on the news. You're getting it in the paper. You're getting it wherever. And all of those things can be good, and they can be clever, but they're not God. I need to hear his voice. I need to know what he says. I don't want to take a single step without him, because he's all that I need. And that's the word of the Lord this morning. That's the word for our hearts as we would move forward. The goal of opposition, and always the goal of opposition, is to get us to turn the opposite way. That's always it. But us as Christians, what does opposition prove for us? It's almost like a speed ramp. Okay, you're going to attack me, I'm going to pray all the more. That's going to cause me to accelerate. Okay, you're going to try to trip me up, I'm going to press into God all the more. You're not going to defeat me, devil. You're not going to defeat me, enemy. This is what we've got to encourage ourselves with. It's all about our mindset. It's all about how we respond to things. You see, we've got to realize more and more and more is that things in life are going to happen. 10% of life is what happens to us. 90% of life is how we respond to those things that happen to us. But here's what the enemy wants us to do, is that those 10% would get consumed all into the full 90%. And before you know it, my whole life is about, look what happened to me, look what happened to me, look what happened to me. Everybody's got things that are happening to them all of the time, right at this moment, without you even realizing it. Good, bad, indifferent, all of those things in between. But how we respond is so much more important to what happens to us. How am I going to respond? How am I going to come back from this setback? How am I going to get lifted up from this thing that has really pierced me down? And how am I going to do it? By knowing God's voice. Church, this morning, if we could leave you with one important thing, it would be this. Is that authority. Life is all about authority. It's all about the authority the words carry. I remember years ago, we got this rates bill. Let me tell you a funny story about rates. Probably somebody in here doesn't like rates. I don't really like them. But the rates bill came, and they wanted rates for Vibe. And we're like, come on, we're a charity. We shouldn't pay rates. And they're like, well, tough luck. You didn't put the forms in time. We were like, well, we didn't know to put the forms in. How much is it? We'll pay £100 if that's what it is. They're like, no, it's 12,000. I'm like, what? 12,000? I was like, what way does that work? It said, look, pay 12,000, you'll get it back eventually. I'm like, pay 12,000, we might never get it back. I'm not paying it at all. We don't even have it to pay it. And so we left it, and they said, no, don't worry about it. It'll all get worked out. Before you knew it, it went to 15. Then I think we went to 21. I was starting to think, whoa, this is more money I've ever seen or heard before in my life. We've got to get this thing paid. And so I phoned up, and they're like, every time, couldn't get to the right person. Every time, couldn't get to the right person. And then one day, I don't know what it was, but maybe just, let's say it's the Holy Spirit. Let's believe for that. Maybe I was super spiritual that day. And so I decided to do a Google. And I thought, you know what? If I could just get past the call center and speak to somebody in more authority, we could get this thing sorted out. We could get this thing figured out. And so I looked it up, and eventually I saw this 02838 number. And if you're a local, then you'll realize that's a Port of Down number. That is the number I was looking for. And I phoned it, and it went through. And on the other end, I found this amazing girl called Claire. I says, Claire, you are going to be my friend. She says, what is it? I explained the whole story. She said, I am the person you need to talk to. I said, what is your position? She says, I am below the head guy. I tell him everything that he needs to do. I remind him about everything. I'm like, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I said, Claire, here's the whole situation. She says, stop. You're going to tell me basically the reason you don't want to pay it is because you can't afford to pay it. She goes, I know all about it. I says, yeah, that's it. We can't pay it. We don't have the money. I don't know what we're going to do with that money. And she goes, let me sort it out. You see, life is about authority. And Jesus' words are ultimate authority. And we're going to get dismayed by the words that are going to come to us. We're going to get dismayed by the words that are going to come to us about next door. We're going to get dismayed by the things that are going to happen in our lives. How many times have we got discouraged, felt like we're going to quit, felt like we're going to give up because of the words that someone has spoke over us? The only way to defeat those words is to get words that are greater. To get words that have greater authority, that are of greater anointing, that carry greater weight. And this is who Jesus is. I need to know his word, because otherwise those logical, practical, reality-focused words that somebody else is going to give me will overthrow my life. Here's the thing. It's not always going to be a nonsense word that's going to overthrow you. It's going to be something that's the truth. It's going to be something, of course you got to pay it. This is rich. You just got to sort it out. This is just what you got to do. I'm like, I know, but what are we supposed to do? Take a loan? They're like, yeah, if you have to do it, that's what you have to do. But when we spoke to someone in greater authority, they were able to overthrow that first authority. You're able to overthrow that first statement. And church, I want to encourage us this morning. I want to encourage us for this long haul. If we don't know God's voice, we're going to be overcome by practical, good, logical, reality-focused words instead of knowing heavenly words, instead of knowing the ultimate king's authority. Because when the king moves, everything changes. Everything changes on your life. I hope that's encouragement this morning. I hope that's exactly what we need to hear. Here's what Nehemiah did. Verse 4, we're going to read it together. After they go through all the trouble, I think we've got it. Peter, have we? There we go. Then I prayed. We could just pause in this first part. This is what you need in times of trouble is a man or woman to say, do you know what? I think we're going to pray about it. Sometimes we think that's like, whatever. So what do you mean you're going to pray about it? We need to do this. We need to do that. It's so important as we go, where we go, what we do, that we're praying. In this season, at this time, we need people that's going to pray. We need people that knows how to pray. Think about that one. We need people that knows how to pray. Not just pray, but knows how to pray. Knows how to know that know God's voice, that know how to follow God's voice, that know how to separate between voices, know how to respond to his voice, know how to go after his voice. This is what we're going to need. Nehemiah, when all this dismay is going on, when all this chaos is going on, he comes with clarity and he says, then I prayed. Hear us, O God. And he speaks to God and he asks God for help. And he says, come on, God, you're going to defeat our enemies. Why? Because this is your plan and not our plan. God, we are going to succeed next door. Why? Because this is your plan, not our plan. God, we wouldn't think to do this in a million billion years. We'd be quite happy to sit where we are. This would be so nice. God, we just upgrade here. We wouldn't worry about anybody else out there. We'd just be fine here. Can we turn the heating up? Could we get a jacuzzi? You know, could we get, I don't know, free gym going on downstairs? Could we do all of those things that would just make our lives better, that would be comfortable? Everybody likes being comfy, don't they? You know, could we get chocolates or whatever you want, crisps? If you're like me, you like crisps. Could we just get all of those things? And could it be for free? Wouldn't that be amazing? God, could you just make it for free and just make everything easy? But God says, no, I've got a huge plan, and it's to restore a city, it's to restore a nation, it's to restore a land that's completely broken. And I need you to push forward in this. I need you to know my voice, because if you don't, you're going to listen to some other voices and you're going to go the wrong way. You're going to miss out on all that the Lord's got for you. One of the most important weapons that we have is prayer. But if we don't pick that weapon up, if we don't know how to use it, if we don't remember to go after it, then we're going to forget it. And it's so important because of what we said already. His word is ultimate weight and ultimate authority. It beats every other word. What are the words that are resting in your heart this morning that's just killing you? That's just beating you up day after day, month after month? Maybe you're wanting to go and start this business idea that God's put in your heart. Maybe you just want to go after this thing over here. Maybe you want to go for that thing. Maybe it's university. Maybe it's this. I don't know what it is. But there's something that's holding you back. And the chances are, it's either your word that's holding you back, it's either a close friend's word, or it's the enemy's voice. And God says this morning, you need to bring this before me. Because maybe the reason it's in your heart is because it's a God dream. And it's so big and it's so crazy and it's so far out there because it's my dream. And I've put it inside of your heart. And unless you hear from me and unless you're close to me, you will not fulfill this dream and you will not fulfill this word. You've got to know my authority. You've got to know my weight. You've got to know my words. Otherwise, other ones will kill you. I believe this church, if we don't know God's heart and we don't know God's word, we're literally just killing ourselves in the aspects of God and the aspects of our lives. Instead of going the ways that he's planned for us, instead of taking the path that he has designed for us, we're going different ways. We're going different routes. We're coming this way. We're going that way. And God wants us to walk a different way with him. And so I've got to know him. God can do the impossible for a God work. I've got to know a God voice. Verse 4, three words at the beginning. If we could remember this for the next few weeks and months and years, then I prayed. It would leave us in good stead for all that God's got for us. I want to give you something, a bit of a prayer test this morning. We maybe mentioned it about a year ago, but I want to give you a bit of a prayer test. This is one just to challenge us. What's our prayers looking like? What's our prayer life looking like? Because here's what I have found. If we don't challenge ourselves to pray big prayers, guess what happens? We pray small ones. We pray small ones. And then we wonder why this isn't happening, why that's not happening. We got to pray big prayers. We got to step out in faith in God. Here's what I've learned. The things that I've prayed are not the things that I can comprehend. The things that I've learned to pray are things that God has shown me and God has told me. Because if I only pray what I can comprehend, then it's very limited. It's very small. And here's a prayer test that I ask myself and I want to challenge you with. If all of your prayers got answered in this moment, would it just improve your life or would it transform the world forever? That's a really good test to run past your prayers. That's a really good test to run past your heart this morning. Would it just solve a few issues? Not saying that those issues aren't insignificant. Would it just resolve a few things in your immediate family or in your immediate life, or maybe, even heaven forbid, just for you and nobody else? Or if your prayers begun to get answered this morning, would it change the world? Would it change nations? Would it change Armagh? Would it change Northern Ireland? As we move forward, our prayers have to get greater. Our prayers have to get greater. Not because of how great I am, but because of how great He is. And as I start to declare the promises of God, as I start to step out and pray the big things that God has destined me to pray, oh my goodness, watch how things start to change. You know, the number one thing I hear from a lot of people, praying is just boring. Being a Christian is just boring. I'm like, who are you talking to and what are you asking for? Because this is not boring. We got this thing in 8 weeks at 45,000. If that floats your boat, you're sitting in chairs that are free, that were worth over 20,000 pounds. Hopefully that floats your boat. I don't know what it is. We've seen miracles. We've seen 7 people get saved in the last 2 weeks. I don't know what floats your boat, but these are the things that are supposed to grab your heart if you're a follower of Christ. And church, this morning I want to encourage you. You got to maybe shake yourself up a bit or start. Maybe get somebody beside you. Just give me a good shake in Jesus' name. Do it gently. Don't hurt me. But maybe you just need a good shake. Because otherwise we just get lived so low and we start to think, is this it, God? Is this all you've got for me? Is this all it's about? It's incredible. But then I prayed and I heard from God and I knew what to do next. The truth is, if we're going to succeed, we're going to have to pray. And breakthrough comes as we pray. Here's verse 6. Can we show verse 6? It says this, at last the wall was completed to half its height. You thought it was finished. No, just to half its height. But they had done well. They'd done well so far. They're not wall builders. They're not experts at building walls, but they got on so well. They're getting there. God's encouraged them. Nehemiah's encouraging the people around the entire city. For the people had worked with enthusiasm. Let's just pause for a second. You can work grumpy. Did you know that? You can work grumpy. You can work defeated. You can work all sorts of emotions. I want to encourage you to work with enthusiasm to God emotion. It really is. It's a God requirement. It's a God function. It's a God idea. Can we break down the word enthusiasm in the Greek for just a minute? Do you remember years ago, maybe they still do it. Remember Intel? Maybe I'm a bit of a computer nut, so then I remember maybe better than you did. But on the outside of all the computers, if it had an Intel chip, it said Intel on the inside. Does anybody kind of remember that? Yeah, a few people do. That's good. I'm not just weird. But this is what enthusiasm means. It means God on the inside. God on the inside. Enthusiasm, break it down. God in. And then enthusiasm means inside. And so if we've got enthusiasm, we've got God on the inside. Church, we've got to realize this morning when we go to do things, enthusiasm counts. Because enthusiasm is biblical, especially if it's our sustaining and our sustenance and our power and the richness of our lives is coming from God. Especially if we're stepping out in faith in the things that we do, then we step out with enthusiasm because God's on the inside. I haven't got Intel on the inside. I've got God on the inside. And so enthusiasm is what I require, and enthusiasm is what He has got for me as I would step out in faith with God. Enthusiasm. It says God the first part, inside the second part. Put it together, and you've got enthusiasm. And so this morning, this is what I need, and this is what you need. And if we're going to see breakthrough, we're going to have to pray. Every time we read about breakthrough in the Old or the New Testament, it's always because somebody prayed. It's always because a group of people started to pray. We could go through story after story after story, but every single time people prayed, breakthrough would come in various different forms, in various different ways. When trouble comes, the enemy does not stop easy. I mean, it says that the enemy kept coming. Verse 9, it says, but we prayed to our God and guarded the city night and day to protect ourselves. You see, enemy's going to come over and over and over again. God will do His part. We pray to God, and then we do our part. We protect, we uphold, we shield. We are there for each other. We're there for the people around us. And of course, another big voice that's going to come to us is the voice of reality from others or the voice from within. Do we really know what we're doing? Can I read this one this morning? It says in verse 10, it says, then the people of Judah began to complain. Oh, heaven forbid that we would start to complain. This is what we do. Anybody complain in here? No hands, because I know everybody does. But we start to complain. It's like, oh my goodness, Lord, we love this project. We love what we're doing next door. And it's incredible to think of all that you've done and all that you will do. But I'm tired. And it's like, is this thing ever going to be built? And will the money ever have to stop? And, you know, and we just start to complain. This is what it says here. The workers are getting tired. There's so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. It's incredible how when you get tired, you start to think the wrong kind of ways. They were not doing it themselves. They had God with them. He said from the very beginning, this is my plan, people, that I've sent my prophet Nehemiah, my man Nehemiah from afar off to come to you to tell you to get going. But now they've got tired, they've got weary, they've got dejected, they've got a bit down. It's become a bit hard, it's become a bit long. And they forgot that it was going to be a long one. I want to encourage you this morning, church, next door is going to be a long one. It's going to take years. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be a long one, but it's going to take years. I want to encourage you, we've got to stick the course. We've got to keep moving forward. We've got to keep trusting God. They really wanted to quit. They really wanted to give up because it was legitimate. Why couldn't we? Sure, it makes sense to give up. It makes sense to quit. Here's where it gets even worse. Verse 11, meanwhile, our enemies were saying. Can we show this one, Peter? Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, they will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. This is what their enemies are saying. So they're saying something good, bad. Their enemies are saying something bad. Before you know it, it's like, can we just quit? Can we just get out of here? The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, or other versions will tell us that the enemy came 10 times. They heard about it 10 different times. They will come from all directions and attack us. Come on, surely this is the time to give up. You know, we've started building next door. We're about to go for next door, but we're crazy. We're mad. Just give up quick. Give up quick. Let's get back to the sofa again. Let's just get back to comfortable sofa life. I don't know what it is. But if you find out what I've found out, that there's no part of life's comfortable. There's always ups and downs. There's always trials. There's always challenges. But I tell you what's really good is when I overcome them through Jesus. And I'm like, wow, look what the Lord has done. Look what God has done. And it keeps me going another bit. Keeps me going another bit. Keeps me encouraged. Keeps me moving forward. Church, this morning, again, if we don't know the Lord's voice, when the enemy comes with all his different ploys, with all the different tactics of life, when tiredness comes, when weariness comes, when the longevity of the mission comes, we will be overthrown and we will be overwhelmed. But this morning, what we got to do is reference this. It's going to be a long project. It really is. It's going to cost us more than you think. Let me tell you that. It's going to cost you more than you think. But God is all that we need. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be great opposition. There's going to be many things, whether it be ourselves, whether it be other people, whether it be people around. There's going to be opposition. Why? Because the enemy's not going to be happy because we're planning to see a city saved. We're planning to see a nation turned around. We're planning to do great things to the kingdom of God. There is an opponent. There is an opponent called the enemy, and he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But our God comes to give life, and life more abundantly. But God will give us success. This is what we've got to remember. We read it right at the end of chapter 2. It says, but God's with us. God will give us success. Nehemiah chapter 2, read a few weeks ago. We said we've got to write this one in our hearts. God will give us success. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. God is with us. And this is what Nehemiah says. Remember, this is God's plan, not yours. Verse 13, so I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then, as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, do not be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. We just keep remembering God's with us. God's with us. God's inside of us. The hope of glory is in sustaining us. And fight for your brothers and sisters. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives and your homes. When our enemies attack, that they will know of their plans and that God has frustrated them, we all return to our work on the wall. You see, as we remember a couple of things, as we remember God in every situation, as we remember God as we step out in the issues of life, whether you're praying for a loved one, whether you're believing for your family for breakthrough, whether you're believing for a breakthrough in cancer or in a heart attack, whether you're believing for next door with us as a corporate body, as we remember God, that changes everything. If we remember everybody else and forget God, that changes everything. I've got to know him. Here's what the verse says. It says, whenever they heard the enemy's voices, it freaked them out. But whenever the enemy heard God's voice, it freaked them out. So we got to make sure that we're doing the freaking and not being freaked. We just got to make sure that we know God's voice. Otherwise, we will be freaked out. But when I hear his voice and I remember it in my heart and I start to share it to everybody else, suddenly the enemy starts to quiver. Suddenly the enemy starts to wonder, wow, this is a fight I didn't plan for. Here's what I've learned about the enemy. The enemy's after easy fights. He's after easy fights. He's after fights where you just give him all the stuff. You just give him all the stuff because of the way you're living. You just give him all the stuff because of the things you're watching, because of the things you're doing, because of the ways you're going. You're just giving him all the stuff. And yet God's grace inside of all of that continues to protect us. But whenever we start to make things tricky for him, actually we start to pray, live as New Testament believers, start to raise the dead, but heal the sick, start to cast out demons, start to actually go for Matthew 10, 8. Oh my goodness, he starts to freak out and he flees. He's like, there's many other people in this world. I'm going after the easy ones. I'm not going after you. Church, we've got to realize this morning that our God carries ultimate weight and authority, and he transforms and changes everything. I need to know God's plan. Otherwise, I'll get freaked out by the enemy when he comes with his plan. And his plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. Here's the wisdom. And we're going to finish off with this, and then we'll be done in just a few moments. The wisdom is this. They get a plan, and then God comes with some wisdom to Nehemiah. How did he get this wisdom? Because he was a man of prayer. He was a man who knew God's voice. Verse 16, but when from then on only half of the men worked while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail, the leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting the load and one hand holding a weapon. All the builders who had a sword belted it to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Then I explained to the nobles and the officials and all the people, the work is very spread out and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it is sounded. Then our God will fight for us. This is really good. Not only does God say, when you press into me, will I equip you and I'll encourage you, but as you would press into me, as the game gets tougher, as the challenge gets greater, I'll bring strategy like you won't believe. Now, how does it make sense to have people building a wall with one hand building blocks and the other hand behind their back, or one hand holding a sword? That's not easy. And yet they completed the wall in 52 days, supernaturally. Because whenever we get God's strategy, we've got to learn something. We've got to follow it, even if it doesn't make earthly sense. We've got to follow God's strategy because he knows what he's doing better than we're doing. Remember, it's his plan. It's his plan. It's his name at stake. He knows what he's doing. God's coming to us with strategy that may not feel like it just makes total sense to us. But if it's his strategy, then we follow it to the letter. And look what starts to happen to us. I want to pull apart just for a couple of minutes as we're finishing. It says the first thing was they prayed. They knew God's voice. They knew his authority. We've been mentioning it all morning. The second one was this, the sword. And we think about things from the Old Testament, and we think about anything, we hear it in the Bible as metaphors. We think of it practically and what it means physically, but a lot of the times we think of metaphors because God speaks so rich through his word, and there's always a deeper meaning. There's always something deeper. It says this, that they had their swords at the ready. What is the sword? Sword is the word. They had the word at the ready. But here's what I find with these guys, is that it wasn't just something that they had by their side, but it says, it makes reference that it was close to them. It was something they knew about. It was something they knew the word. They understood the word. They knew how to activate the word in their lives. Here's what I find, is that you could bring your Bible to church and you don't even know your Bible. You could not bring your Bible to church and you may know your Bible. So it's not about what it looks like on the outside. It's about what you've got going on in here. Because you see, when the battle comes, you're not going to have time to read. There's going to be no time to read. When you're in a battlefield, if we're in a practical battle, you wouldn't be looking up books of war to how to defeat the enemy. You would have to hope that your training carries through. Because there's no time to look up strategy at that point. You're not going to flick up YouTube on your phone while the enemy's about to attack. You're going to get busy quick. You're going to be freaking out. You're going to be worried. So you better know what's going on in the inside. Because if you don't, then you're going to be a mess. And God says this morning, these people had their sword by their side. It was close to them. Church, I'm going to encourage you one thing. We need to be people that know how to pray, and we need to be people that know the word. Because if we don't, the enemy is going to beat us left, right, upside down, every which way you could believe. We need to know the word. I know it's difficult at times. I know it's hard to understand at times, but ask people around you. They will encourage you. Take notes. Make it easier for yourself. Write things down. Meditate on the word. It tells us to meditate on the word day and night. I mean, it's hard to know something if you're not thinking about something. You know what I mean? It's like you got to spend some time with the word. You got to spend some time with God. Remember, it's a living word. It's living word. It's God breathed. And I want to encourage you this morning, you got to know his voice and you got to know the word. And I'm going to encourage you to press in on that because that's what's really going to define us. Third thing was this, be ready to rush. I love this. Be ready to rush. It says, whenever you hear the trumpet, and again, I think the metaphor of trumpet, remember the lamb was called Judah. Judah means praise. Trumpet makes me think of praise, makes me think of worship, makes me think of breakthrough. Whenever we hear that, we get ready. Praise has got to be a breakthrough for us. You got to know praise. You got to know prayer. Got to know the word. Got to know praise. Got to know how to worship. Because it says this, whenever you hear the sound, make sure you come rushing. Make sure you move quick because we're separated all over the place. Hey, we all live in different locations, different places. The enemy's going to come and try to pick us off. Here's what enemy tactics work like. Get the person on the fringe. Get the person on the outside. Once you get them, move to the next one. Get them. You don't come for the center. You don't come for the core. You don't come for the difficult part. You go for the easy part. Remember, the enemy's after easy wins. He's after easy kills. And God says, stick true, stick firm. Whenever you hear the trumpet sounds, come rushing. What does that look like practically? Whenever you hear the call to, we're going to have to give, you got to be ready to give. Whether that be financially, I know it might hurt your heart, but don't worry, God supplies all of your needs. You got to know that. Everything you have is His. When we say we got to pray, you got to be ready to rush to pray. Because there's going to be a need for it. There's going to be a need for it to press through in prayer. Whenever we say, hey, we're going to do a worship night or we're going to come to church, you got to be ready to rush. You got to be ready to rush when the trumpet sounds. Remember, this is not my plan. This is God's. Remember, this is not my strategy. My strategy would be like, hey, just everybody send a text to each other. It'd be all cool. We'll all stay at home. You know what I mean? Could somebody else do it and just tell us it at the end? No, they all had to rush. They all had to rush to each other. Because if they didn't, the enemy would defeat them. Church, we got to realize this. It will be a long process, but we are in charge of how long it will take. It took them 52 days because they stuck to the strategy. If we stick to our strategy, it may never happen. You may be like the children of Israel who wandered in circles for 40 years, never quite made it to the land of Canaan. God says, I have great plans for you. I've already given you success. I already know what you need to do, but you've got to hear me. You've got to know me. How am I going to know Him? I'm going to pray. I'm going to know His voice. Can we stand this morning? I'm going to get the band to come. We're covering lots of ground in a short space of time, but God is really just teeing up our hearts for the next few weeks. I'm going to do our offering at this time as well, but I want to finish off a couple of thoughts just the guys are getting ready. We're going to need to know God's voice. We said this already. We're going to need to know God's voice. Can I share three quick things as we're gearing up to finish of how we've heard God's voice in the last few weeks? About a month ago, I just got a word clear from God that said there was a door going to close, but within 30 days, there would be another door that would open that would be seven times greater than the one that closed. And I kind of revealed a bit last week. I said the first door that closed was financial. And so I had in my heart, I was like, oh, it doesn't matter, Lord. The one that, and it's financial to do with next door. But it doesn't matter, Lord. There's going to be a door that's going to open seven times greater. So we're going to have seven times the money as we did the first time. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. This is amazing. We're all going to be just sunning ourselves and somewhere else. You know, we're going on holiday instead of having to give our money away. It's going to be amazing. And of course, that didn't happen. But when I looked back last week, the Lord hit me in the heart and He said, what did happen was seven people got saved. Seven people got saved. That's far greater than seven times financial windfall. Far greater because people are priceless. And it hit us in the heart, and it hit me in the heart, and I hope it did you. Because this is what the Lord said to me. He said this, are seven souls worth more to you than seven pots of gold? I'm like, Lord, it's got to be that. It's got to be that. Although sometimes it's not that in my own heart. Sometimes it's not that in my own mind. So God started to speak. And then this week, we spoke last Sunday on agreement. We said the power of agreement in assignment, that we've all got to go for assignments, that each one of us have assignments at the wall, that each one of us have assignments in life's journey, that each one of us have assignments in the call of God. And we said we've got to figure those out, and we've got to ask the Lord, what's my assignment? What is the things I've got to do? And then when we get them, we've got to be faithful to follow those things through. Well, we went to pray this week, and the Lord started to speak again. On Wednesday, wait for this, on Wednesday, a recent good friend, I'll say it like this. He came to the Encounter Camp just a few weeks ago. He came to me during the week and he sent me an email. He says, hey, I just got this email. It was sent by a prophet to my mom, and she sent it to me, and I felt like it just quickened my spirit, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, send it to Daryl. I was like, wow, what is this? I read down, guess what it says? God's mantles and God's assignments. I'm like, oh man. I read this thing, it's just amazing. Talks about obedience in the face of all the different opposition that would come. It talks about wisdom and obedience, how you've got to be obedient to the call, how you've got to have a wisdom when you'd follow through with your assignments. Just follow suit with everything that God says. Then on Wednesday night, we come to the prayer time. Jimmy comes to me and says, I've got a word. His word was based on assignments. Of course, he was here on Sunday, so it's not a revelation in that. But the fact that he had a word, that God would impress a word in his heart, it was a word of Moses. It says that Moses was challenged to bring the men and women out of Egypt. An incredible task, an impossible task. He said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't even speak good. Don't even know what I'm doing. And then the Lord said, what have you got in your hand? And I've got a rod. The Lord used that rod. And he encouraged them with that rod. And he said, use what you've got in your hand. And everything changed. And so in the space of a few days, we got three assignment words confirmed over and over and over again. You see, in these days, we've got to be really attuned to the voice of God, because it's His voice that I need to hear. Then final word, let me reveal this one to you. I think it's going to be good news, because it's a good news word. This week I was praying, The Lord said to me this. He said there's going to be provision for every part of the vision, but not just in a cliche, not just in a nice rhyme. There's going to be provision for everything. I said, Lord, what do you mean? And this is what he impressed in my heart day after day after day this week. I want to release this word into our hearts, because as we release it, we activate it. If you want to activate it in your life, you receive it by faith. But this is the word of the Lord. He came to me, he said this. There's going to be extra provision that will be released in people's lives, and then it will be up to them for them to decide what they do with it. I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said this, I'm going to cause people to have pay rises. I'm going to cause people to get promoted in work. I'm going to cause people to get gifts and inheritance. I'm going to cause people to get windfalls. I'm going to cause people to find money. I'm going to cause people to get inheritance, financial blessing. And it will be for next door, but I'm going to leave it with them to decide, because I want people to be able to give freely. I want people to give from their hearts. And so, church, I want us to receive this word, because I believe this is a key word at a key time. Because God knows all that we have need of for next door. He knows the things we're going to have to pour out. He knows the expense it's going to cost us. He knows the blood, sweat, and tears it's going to cost us, and everything else. But I felt him saying he's going to promote us, not just financially, but he's going to promote us in the workplace. He's going to promote us in our family. He's going to bring extra blessing in our family. And we've got to reference it. It's because he wants us to move, and he wants us to free us up for next door. A word that God gave me years ago, and then we're going to sing. I'm getting too excited. A word that God gave me years ago, and I felt, again, the Lord just wants to share it this morning, was years ago, I said to the Lord, Lord, why have you blessed me with so much? Because I looked around and I saw all the things that he had blessed me with, just incredible things, whether it be from my house, whether it be from my work, whether it be from a family. I thought, Lord, you've just incredibly, incredibly blessed me, way beyond what makes earthly sense. And you know what he said to me? He said, I have blessed you because you've got to be free to be a blessing to everybody else. I cannot have you consumed with this and with that and with this. I need you to be free to go so you can give extra time, that you can give extra hours, so you can push your hand to the plow and not look back when you should look back, because you've just got extra work to do, because I've taken care of everything here. And I feel like the Lord wants to release that word over every one of us who wants to receive it this morning, that the Lord is going to bring extra blessing into your life that is supernatural, that you've never seen or heard before. And it will not be to let you sit up on land and sofa and become a fat cat or whatever you would imagine, watch loads of Netflix or movies or whatever you'd love to do, but it will be to release you to be a blessing to the people around you. Church, this morning we have been placed in an incredible destiny, for incredible purpose, for incredible plans for the kingdom of God. And God said, will we go forth and receive it in Jesus' name?